Hi, hello, my brothers and sisters. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Again, I welcome you to this recording. And today we'll be going right back into the letter K for the subject of knowledge and what our Bibles have to say about knowledge, what the Lord's Word says about knowledge. And just to recap just a little bit, Last recording, what we talked about was how do the scriptures describe the attitude of sinful men toward knowledge. And remember, we was talking about all men are sinners, but all men are not saints that sin. We talked about that, remember? And we'll get into that farther into the study. And there's only three kinds of people in the world. You're either a Jew or you're either a Gentile, or either you are a born-again Bible believer. You're a born-again saint. One of those three. And that's what the Bible says. So today we're going to go into this. And to recap a little bit, it says, remember we talked about sinful men, that they turn from knowledge. They don't want to have anything to do with knowledge. They turn from it. When they see the knowledge of God and they hear the knowledge of God, they turn from it. And the Bible also says that they are willingly ignorant. And I heard another fellow say one time, another preacher says that's defined as being stupid on purpose. So the Bible does say in Romans chapter 10 and 2 Peter chapter 3 that they are willingly ignorant. They choose to be ignorant. But that's not going to be an excuse for them. Nobody's going to be able to stand before the Lord and have an excuse that I didn't know. But I didn't know. Oh, yes, you did. You just chose to be ignorant about it. You see, just because somebody chooses to be ignorant and behaves, I mean, there's one thing to choose to be ignorant, and God's even going to hold people responsible for the knowledge that they do not know. Yeah. In the scriptures, it says that. And I tell you this, America, all Americans do not have any excuse at all for not knowing what God says. There's enough Bibles in America alone that everybody could have three copies herself. I'd say that's conservative. But anybody in America that does not know anything about God, it's their fault they're ignorant. It's because they're willingly ignorant. They do not. You can go down to the dime store right now and you can get a dollar Bible down there, and I bet everybody wouldn't have to drive 5 miles. I bet there's a Bible within 5 miles of everybody in America. Maybe somebody out in the country a little farther, but you know what I mean. But they're willingly ignorant. They don't want to hear about the Word of God. And to say that America is without excuse, well, you see what happened to the Brits. You see what happened to Europe. You see what happened to the British whenever they did. You see what's going on in their country. You see what happened to Spain. You see what happened to all the rest of them. When you turn away the Word of God and you become willingly ignorant of the Word of God, and God says, you don't want me, I don't want you. And when the Lord leaves, woe unto you. When the Lord leaves, you're in trouble. When He leaves, you're in trouble. Another thing sinful men raise up against knowledge. They not only are willingly ignorant, but they don't want there to be any God at all anywhere. And they attack God and they attack the knowledge of God. And they do that on purpose. And the Bible tells us that. Sinful men do not like to keep knowledge in their knowledge. They don't like to keep God in their knowledge. In other words, the things that they already know about the Lord, they try to get rid of and forget and get rid of it. The Bible says, and even as they did not like, says that even as they did not keep God in their, not retain God in their knowledge, that's what it says, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And boy, they're doing them too, ain't they? You see, any man, the Lord was right when He called us evil. He called man evil, and the Lord Jesus said He knew what was in man. And that's why He didn't commit Himself to men, because He knew what was in man and what man's capable of. And you said, well, I just can't believe some of the things I hear that people do and do over in them wars and do here and do there. You would be surprised what your flesh would do if the Lord wasn't around you and helping you. If the Lord left you and the Holy Ghost left, you'd be surprised. It'd be what the Bible says, women eating their own children. Yeah. Sinful men do not like to keep God in their knowledge. Okay, and one other thing that we talked about was that sinful men are never able to come to the truth. Never able to come to the truth. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, remember, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, and proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Well, that's going on, isn't it? I was just studying just a while ago, and going over, I'm doing a little study on suicide, and can you guess what the youngest age of a suicide victim is? Can you? What would you say? What would you say the youngest age of a suicide victim is today? Well, surely they don't kill themselves less than 20 years old, do they? Yeah, they do. You want to guess again? Well, surely they don't. Surely a 16-year-old, I mean, the 16-year-olds, I mean, they're all airheaded and they're full of life. Hey, surely they wouldn't do it. Oh, yeah, they do. But you know what the youngest one is? Six. 6 years old. A little girl named Samantha. She hung herself with a belt and did it on purpose. You know why? Because her mommy sent her to the room to punish her. Sent her to a room to punish her and found her in there dead, killed herself, hung herself with a belt. You say, no. Yeah. Yes, she did. And that's how your America is right now. 6 year olds that are born, they only was born 6 years ago. A 6 year old was only born 6 years ago. And out of them 6 years that they lived sucking on a bottle and eating baby food and crawling around in diapers and then finally getting up and walking and then finally putting on some clothes and then finally running around with little girly pigtails and things like that. And finally reaches 6 years old, out of everything in life, from mommy and daddy and grandma and granddaddy and society and the neighborhood and all the neighbors and all the people that they experience, going down to Walmart, going shopping, going out to eat, and out of everything that they see and that they understand, you know what's in their mind? I want to kill myself. And they do it. What would be interesting is to find out how she figured out how to kill herself, how she knew what was hanging was. There's people that was in that article that said, well, we just don't believe that she killed herself and she's hanging from a belt around her neck. And we just can't believe that a six-year-old could kill themselves. And you know what they said instead? You know what the intelligent people, all smart people about people killing themselves said? Well, a six-year-old, we can't understand that they would make a conscious decision because they don't know what death is yet. I know some 70-year-olds that don't know what death is. But anyway, you know what they said and the answer they come up with? Well, a six-year-old, they don't understand what death is, but we figure it have to be about 8 or 9 years old. Oh, yeah? When they graduate to 8 or 9 years old, then they know how to kill themselves and want to kill themselves, huh? Boy, that's flattering. People are stupid. They're stupid. And this so-called intelligence today, it ain't intelligence, it's stupidity. The Lord said he laughs at it. He said it's foolishness and it's idiocy, it's stupid. And the things that men highly esteem are an abomination in the sight of God. But 6 years old, huh? Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. a little six-year-old. Praise the Lord that probably around 6 years old, she's still safe and she's with the Lord, maybe. I hope so. The Bible says it was a seven-year-old that did evil in the sight of the Lord. He come to the age of accountability, and he knew he was a little king, and he knew what he was doing because he was coached by his mama to do evil. But the Bible says at 7 years old that a little boy can do evil against the Lord, you know, from his heart. So the Lord doesn't hold you accountable until you transgress the law, and until you know that you've sinned against God's law and know you've sinned against the holy God, then you're not accountable, and the Lord's called, and it's called, you're called safe, and the Lord will let you go to heaven. So hopefully Samantha went to heaven. I hope so. And she definitely was mixed up down here, wasn't she? She was definitely mixed up down here about her knowledge. A six-year-old only had the knowledge, enough knowledge in her mind that she could go to her room and hang herself. All right, well, today we're going to go into our last part of our study, and we're going to look at another topic having to do with knowledge, and what is the value of knowledge that the Word of God teaches. What's the value of having knowledge of the Lord's knowledge? What's the value of it? Well, one value of it is it'll keep you from killing yourself. It'll give you a whole lot of reasons not to kill yourself. No matter how bad the world gets, it'll give you all kinds of reasons to hang in there and to strive and to tolerate things and to know that there is a holy God that's all kind of promises in His Word that He's given us that you can cling to and know that things are going to get better. Even if you have to die first and you separate and go be with the Lord, things are going to get better. Everything in glory is going to get better. It only gets better from here, brothers and sisters. And we got hope. The Bible says that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered in the heart of man the things God hath prepared for them that love Him. I love Him. And you know something? I love the Lord, and I say this as respectfully as I can. I'm just thankful that God let me be in His family and He saved me. He don't have to give me nothing. He just let me come up there and be with Him. And that's enough for me. You? But the Lord says that eye hath not seen. Ain't nobody ever seen nothing like this. And when Paul came back from heaven, man, he said, I can't even describe it. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, he said, I don't know. But he said, the things I've seen up there, I can't tell you about. It's without words. I can't describe it. But we got things to look forward to. The Bible teaches us that, and we have hope. But you say, what's the value of knowledge that the Word of God teaches? Well, let's go over some of them. The first one is that knowledge, the knowledge of the Lord, is superior to all other things thought to be valuable. You say, well, what do you mean? Oh, well, people have a whole bunch of ideas in the world about what value is. That's part of the national selling points, is that this is valuable. You want this. I mean, provoke a whole bunch of covetousness and try to make somebody think that this is what you need. This is what you want. There's a whole bunch of different, everybody's looking for value. Everybody's looking for value and what's valuable. But what's the Bible say about value? Well, as far as the knowledge of the Lord, be it the knowledge of the Lord, having the knowledge of the Lord and having the knowledge of the Word of God is superior to anything that people think is valuable in this life. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 6, and you can read all through Ecclesiastes, and Solomon will tell you all through that book about what's valuable and what's not valuable and what's vain, and you're going to end up disappointed with that. He tells a whole bunch of things about value. But in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 6 through 11, the Bible says, "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. It's the word of God talking. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Did you hear about that? Did you hear that? Now, that's value. I mean, if you could just live in that kind of meaningful life, if you could just live in that situation, you realize how better your life would be already? I mean, listen to what it said. Hear, for I speak excellent things. I mean, if you could live the rest of your life hearing nothing but excellent things, wouldn't that be something? And the opening of my lips shall be right things. If you could go the rest of your life and just hear nothing but what was right, you know what that would do to your thinking? For my mouth shall speak truth. You have truth in your life. Instead of having to battle for truth every single minute. The Bible says in Jeremiah that your habitation is in the midst of deceit. Where we live on this earth right now, it's waxing worse and worse, and it's getting perilous and dangerous. And the fact of the matter is that everything you look at, that as far as your eyes can see all day long, ain't nothing but deceit. Trying to deceive you. And deceit is not the truth. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. And that'd be worth living for right there. Just be like that, wouldn't it? That's value. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12, for wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. You can have all the money in the world. Have you ever known anybody with money? And that's one of the gods of America. One of the gods of America is money. The other one is sex, perversion. And another one is intelligence, knowledge. But there's a difference. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. You ever known anybody that could buy life with their money? A whole bunch of you probably heard that before, that there ain't no U-Haul trailers behind hearses. Once you step off and crack that ice open to eternity and you fall through that ice into eternity, everything that you thought was valuable in this life is done. Except for what you've done for eternal and spiritual things in this life. The Lord said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For that which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. The knowledge of the Lord is superior to all other things thought to be valuable. But you can't tell that to a sinful man, and you can't tell that to somebody that hates God. They just don't want him around. They don't care. They want their sin. And while putting this lesson together, a Category 4 Hurricane Matthew, you remember that? While I was putting this lesson together, Hurricane Matthew was going up and down the East Coast of the United States, destroying property and homes. And the last count, when it left Haiti, had already sent 780 plus or minus human beings into eternity. The governors and news updates and all others that could speak to the people on the radios and television and everything, you know what they're saying? They're saying, you can replace homes and cars and gold and silver and all that stuff and et cetera. You know what they was telling them? But you can't replace life. Run for safety. Get out of there. That's what they was telling them. And you know what? They was right. But how come, ain't it funny how it takes a catastrophe, something that'll literally kill you, before you'll get your priorities right, in line, get your priorities in line about life. And some people won't even do it then. They don't care. The Lord and the Word of God have been telling us about absolute truth for centuries. A man is a fool who does not prepare for eternity. And women too. What is the value of knowledge that the Word of God teaches? Well, the Word of God teaches that you can't make any mistake as far as value in God's words and what God says. He said they're more worth having than they are silver and gold. It can't even compare to it. Another thing is that knowledge, the knowledge of the Lord increases strength. It makes you stronger. In Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 5, the Bible says, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. God's knowledge makes you stronger, and it makes you wiser. It makes you able to discern between good and bad, and gives you the strength to be able to make the right decision at the right time, rather than being sucked into some kind of wickedness, or deceived into some kind of wickedness, or tempted into some kind of wickedness. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14, counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Knowledge of the Lord increases your strength. It counsels you. How many people go and see a psychiatrist and paying $100 an hour to talk to another man or another woman that's in the same boat they're in that's sinking? And they don't know any more about it. Some of them do now, but the majority, that's the exception to the rule. There are some Christian counselors, and they do good in the name of the Lord and give people the right kind of advice if they can. There are some rules and that you can't say nothing about the Lord in there, but the Holy Ghost gets them through that. But counsel is mine. The Word of God counsels us. It counsels us. It tells us the truth. It don't play games with us. It increases our strength because it tells us the truth. And we don't have to walk around doubting whether somebody has told us wrong or led us wrong or deceived us or this, that, and the other. The Word of God you can trust because it'll make you stronger because you can trust it and you can depend on it. It gives you sound wisdom. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Man, how many of us need understanding just to be able to understand life? I am understanding. I have strength. You say, what's the value of knowledge of the Word of God? Well, it gives you strength. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 29, it says, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. You see, sinful men, they don't believe that God is going to punish them. They think this lovey-dovey Jesus and this healing do-gooder Jesus that the Bible talks about that just ain't nothing but love is not a judge and a holy God. But he is. And they're deceiving themselves. We talked about that. But the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. If you have a sincere heart and you mean business and you're doing the best you can to find out how to do right, God the Holy Ghost will honor that and he'll show you the path to do right and the Lord will be your strength. That's what it says. And he does. Sincerity and truth, brothers and sisters, The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. You can't fool God. All these people that want to have their wicked pie and their wicked cake and eat it too, and then not be responsible to God for it, they just don't go together. The Bible says that wickedness destroys, for the wages of sin is death. Sin kills people. And if you love iniquity and you love sin and you hate righteousness and hate God, you're going to die, man. Sin's going to kill you. Sin's going to kill the righteous also, but it ain't going to kill it in the same manner and fashion as it's going to kill the wicked. The upright die completely different than unsaved people. What's the value? The value of the knowledge of the Word of God? It's superior to all other things that are thought to be valuable. I was listening to a preacher one time. He was talking about this woman that said something about, when I die, just put a telephone in my casket and I'll call you before I come back, because I'm coming back. She didn't call. People got a lot of ideas about value, and they deceive themselves about anything and everything as long as it's not the knowledge of the Word of God, man. Keep that knowledge of the Word of God away from me, and I'll be fine. Until you crack the ice and fall through eternity. What's another thing that's valuable about the Word of God, the knowledge of the Word of God? The knowledge of the Word of God keeps from destruction. It keeps from destruction. You know, the knowledge of the Word of God will save your life. And most of you listening to me that has had any experience with God the Holy Ghost and with our Heavenly Father, you know that His forgiveness is without words, and His grace is without words. And you know when you was out there misbehaving and you was saved and you was trying to disrespect the Lord in your life and seeking after the wrong things and everything else. Well, when the Lord finished teaching you that lesson and He had mercy on you and let you come back to Him, that was valuable, wasn't it? Because it kept you from destruction. Even when you're running from the Lord, the things that you know about the Lord will keep you from destroying yourself until you get so far away from Him and the Lord grants it that you come on home. Because the Bible says if you're just going to be disobedient and you're going to try to make bad of my name down there, then He'll bring you on home. But it keeps from destruction. The value of the knowledge of the Word of God keeps from destruction. It keeps you safe. It keeps your children safe. It keeps your family safe. And America, one out of every two marriages goes to pot. You know, America is 5% of the world population. But you know something? America holds and houses 25% of all prisoners in the world. What's that tell you? Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13 and 20 through 23 says this: Therefore my people are gone into captivity. Talking about them Jews whenever they was disobedient to the Lord, and the Lord let Titus go in and get them, and Nebuchadnezzar, and the two different times that Jerusalem was destroyed. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished. You see any honorable men walking around America now that are really honorable men? They're rare, aren't they? I got some pictures of some things that would just make your jaw drop of our New Age society. Just taking pictures of people out in society now, how they dress, how they behave, color of their hair, all the cross dressers and blabbity blabbity blab blab blab. I knew the day that a mama and daddy wouldn't take their children in that kind of company. The Bible says, therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Man, that's a definition of America. That is society in America. And they're going into captivity, aren't they? But if God the Holy Ghost and the Christians that are faithful to the Lord and to their Heavenly Father weren't in America, this place would be gone. We're going into captivity right now. You see all the different people coming into the nation and taking it over, don't you? Don't you see that? Therefore, my people are gone into captivity. Why? Because they have no knowledge. The knowledge of the Lord keeps from destruction. It helps you to make the right decisions, and even from all the way down to the family, all the way up to the top of the government, it helps you to make the right decisions. And the Lord honors you, honors His Word. When you honor His Word and do what's right in His eyes, the Lord will back you up every time. And talking about calling evil good and good evil and putting light for darkness and darkness for light and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's all over the place, ain't it? Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. That's talking about knowledge. Wise in their own eyes, though, and prudent in their own sight. Well, I think. Well, what about the knowledge of the Word of God? What? God? Who's God? Everybody, the nature is God. What's the value of the knowledge of the Word of God? The knowledge of the Lord is superior to all other things that are thought to be valuable. The knowledge of the Lord increases strength. The knowledge of the Lord keeps from destruction. And one other thing, the knowledge of the Lord ensures stability. You know, when it comes to that destruction part, in John chapter 5, verse 24, the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You know, there's a couple promises in that verse by itself. One of them is that when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you hear God's word and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you have everlasting life. That's the first promise that's already been given to you. Then it says, and shall not come into condemnation. Once you are born again, you're not going to be condemned for sinful reasons like a jury trial or a criminal trial ever again. You shall not come into condemnation. Now, that'd keep you from destruction by itself. We was talking about suicide a while ago and how prominent it is in America now, and how many states are going to legal suicide, and all these crazy things that are going on in America as far as life is. You know how come part of people kill themselves? Because they can't figure out how not to come into condemnation. Because they know there's a God out there. The Bible says that without excuse, nature itself teaches them there's a God. And they know they're going to have to stand before Him one day, and they don't want to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they can't figure out how to keep from getting God to condemn them, or keep God from condemning them. But the Bible says if when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. And the third promise in there is that you've passed from death unto life. You're going to live forever. You're going to shed that vile body. That's all. You're going to go through the shadow of death. But that's it. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm glad of that, ain't you? Man, that gives me strength. And you know what that is? That's the knowledge of the Lord. It ensures stability. I need stability in my life, don't you? I need to hear it every day that God is backing me up and God is my strength and that He's there, and no matter what my eyes and my ears and everything else in this world tries to deceive me and tries to destroy me, my Lord is there. And those promises remain the same. It ensures stability. The knowledge of the Lord ensures stability. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6, it says, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you know, not fearing the Lord is a choice. You ain't born not fearing the Lord. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and 58 says, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." It's all going to come to a head, and it's all going to be counted up. It's all being written down, every word, every action, every reason, every bottom line in somebody's heart, all the deceit, all the blessings, everything's being taken down. They think these big old heavyweight computers are taking down information. They're gathering all this knowledge of everybody in the world and what size pants they wear and where they go during the day and blab their fingerprints and their iris and their eyeball, blabbity blab. And they think they got all the knowledge and they're going to be able to control things. They ain't got nothing on the Lord. He knows every hair, the count of every hair on your head. I bet no computer can say that. Next time you have to talk to a computer, ask it that. How many hairs are on my head? What's that thing they sell people and to put in the house that you can ask any question to? I ain't never seen one or heard one or asked a question to it, but that'd be one to ask. How many hairs are on my head? Well, you must be stupid because God knows how many hairs are on my head. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14 says, "I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him." That's a comforting verse, isn't it? That's a comforting verse. He said, I know that. That's Solomon. He's the wisest man in the world. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That's God's mercy. All God wants is, all the Lord wants is for you to know the truth of the knowledge of the Word of God and incorporate it into your life and accept it, because it's grace. Because if you don't, the Word of God is still going to affect you. And there was wailing and gnashing of teeth. The Bible says, and they shall be punished forever and ever. Heaven and hell. Both of them are a choice, and both of them are forever. Well, there's our study, brothers and sisters, on knowledge. The Bible has some things to say about knowledge, doesn't it? This is the ABCs of everything that we've been studying about knowledge. And we have talked about in this study what different kinds of knowledge does the Bible show us. We've talked about where does the Bible teach knowledge begins, the source. We talked about what should Christians' attitude be toward knowledge. We talked about some things our Lord Jesus Christ had knowledge of and has knowledge of. We talked about how do the Scriptures describe the attitude of sinful men toward knowledge. What's the Bible say? And I remind you that we haven't went over anything in this study concerning knowledge except the Word of God. You have, I don't know how many Scriptures, if you've been writing them down, and I'm sure you have, but you have many Scriptures that you've been given. I'd say at least, 30, 40 Scriptures? I don't know. Maybe probably less than that on this study, but you have all of the Word of God so that you can trust what the Bible says about knowledge. And we talked about what is the value of knowledge that the Word of God teaches. So there's our study, and I appreciate you and thank you for listening to these studies, and mostly not because of anything having to do with me or anything like that. I just try to serve the Lord, and I get a blessing out of being able to talk about God's Word. But that you're learning the Word of God, and that you care, and that you love your Lord, and you respect Him enough to want to know what He thinks and what He says. And all that honor the Lord, the Lord says He will honor in return. And He does. He does. So let me give you the Scriptures for this last part of the study of knowledge. You got your pens? Okay, here they are. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 6, 8, verse 6 through 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 29. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13 and 20 through 23. John chapter 5, verse 24. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and 58. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. And there's our study on the Word of God, the ABCs of Christian growth concerning knowledge. Now, on our next study, we will... let's see what comes after K. It's the L, isn't it? Okay. We'll go into our next study in this recording coming up. We'll go into our study of the letter L, and it's going to stand. We're going to study the subject of the Lord's Supper. It's called the Lord's Supper or the Lord's Table or Communion. All three are scriptural, and you would be scriptural to say it, to call it that in all three of those manners. We call it the Lord's Supper. Some people call it Communion. Some people call it the Lord's Table, but they're all three are scriptural. So we'll go into that and learn about the Lord's Supper and what the Bible has to say about that. And until then, I thank you for listening in all the way through this knowledge study. And if you would like to have these studies to go back over and go back over until you get tired of listening to me, you can just nail this stuff down and go over those scriptures and go over those scriptures and saturate yourself with the Word of God and what the Bible says about these things. And we'll just enjoy the Word of God together. That's what the Lord give it to us. He wants us to enjoy His Word and to fear Him, and we do. So until then, I say the Lord bless you, and I appreciate you, and I'll talk to you on the next recording when we go into the letter L, okay? Bye-bye.